And good morning and or afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Doc. Josh is not here. Laurent is off with his five-year-old having a good 4th of July weekend. Patty is under the weather, not running late, although she might show up. Who knows? They'll all be back with us next week, I suppose. Hope everybody had a good 4th of July weekend. Our guest today is Quality Texas Foundation Board Chair Steve Rudner. He is straight. We've been doing that a lot. We've ruined his marriage. He'll tell us about that. With the decision last week, gee, sorry, Steve. Tell Lisa, we're sorry. He has twin sons. He's going to tell us about them. One of them is gay. And it's really an interesting story, but that's how he got involved in gay rights. I do want to tell you, you are not the typical parent, even the typical parent of a gay. The only time I've met your sons has been with you in gay bars.
Well, at the Capitol, also. Oh, well, it is. The boys weren't there.
No, they weren't. That's right. I've seen you lots of times, but your sons, I see in gay bars. They're 16.
So Josh was a speaker at the Dallas community event on the day of the Supreme Court for the hearing, and I was in Washington in the court that day. So because it rained, that event was moved into Sue Ellen's. Because the boys are 16 and Zach is an intern at the ACLU. So both boys were there and my wife had to take them. And when we were done, I said to Josh, did you ever think the first time that you were at a gay bar, your mom would take you? This last week, they wanted to meet Jim Obergefell, who was in the Roundup. So I'm sure that when Josh is in therapy later in his life, he's going to say, my parents couldn't stop taking me to gay bars.
Mm-hmm. And I will be there at the court hearing to testify for him. Josh came out young.
He came out to me when he was 11.
Okay, how did that come about, and what was your reaction?
My wife and I knew that Josh was gay. Lisa says she knew when Josh was born, but I remember there was a time when Josh was 2, and Lisa and I were standing in front of our washing machine. And Lisa said to me, is there any possibility that Josh is not gay? And I knew the answer was no. So Josh didn't really have to come out to us. We knew that would happen. We were just waiting for him to be ready to tell us. And I'm awfully proud of a son who is confident enough in himself and in his family to do that at 11. I think that even in today's age, when kids are coming out younger and younger, really extraordinary. And so it wasn't a surprise and it wasn't a shock, and certainly we didn't think there was anything wrong with that. Lisa and I have plenty of gay people in our lives. My best friend, who's like a brother to me, is gay, and we've been way back in college, I knew that. And had a first cousin who was gay, and we've got gay people at our Thanksgiving table every year, so that wasn't any kind of issue. The only concern that we had, of course, was that we wanted to make sure that Josh was happy, and that Josh wouldn't be bullied, and that he'd be accepted as a full member of his school community and so forth. And I always try not to speak too much for Josh, except to say, it was great. He was a student at Levine Academy, which goes through 8th grade at the time that he came out. And he came out to everyone in 7th grade, to the whole world. And I don't think that, although he got a few negative remarks here and there, I think he was widely accepted. And it didn't change the nature of any of his relationships with his friends. Mm-hmm. The boys attend Green Hill now, which I think is probably the most accepting, open, and diverse place on earth. Mm-hmm. And so he's had a great experience.
Okay, so when Josh first came out, you said you thought he was gay from the time he was born.
We knew Josh was gay.
And did you ever think Zach was? And here's one of the reasons I ask. Studies have shown that twins, and they're not identical.
They are not.
They're not identical twins. So, but that identical twins, chances are both of them are gay or both of them are straight. In my experience, I don't know any twins where both of them are gay. I know lots of sets of twins. I guess a lot of them are fraternal twins, though, but I don't know any instances where that's true, but studies say that is. So what was were you thinking, well, you know, with Zach?
No, I'm certainly not an expert on twins, but just as I never had any doubt that Josh was gay, I never had any doubt that Zach was straight. And both of them, from a very early age, fell into such... they followed such stereotypical behavior for each of them that there really wasn't any doubt. But I'll tell you an interesting story about Zach.
who, you know, when Josh was young and his favorite color was pink and he was playing with Barbies, and that was just normal. And so I remember when a lot of the kids from their grade were at our house, and one of the boys, who they had as a mutual friend, said to Zach, "Why does Josh play with Barbies?" And Zach just couldn't even imagine that there was anything wrong with that. And he said, "That's what he likes." I mean, it just wasn't a thing. Zach and I were driving someplace, and I think he must have been 3 or 4, maybe 4 years old. And it was just the two of us in the car, and he was in his car seat behind me. And sometimes you find yourself as a parent having a conversation with the child just to pass the time, or asking stupid things just to be talking. And so I said to Zach while we were driving, "If you had to pick which one of the girls in your class you would marry, which one would you marry?" And he screwed his face up into a knot, and he was really thinking hard for a four-year-old, and he thinks about it, and he says to me, "You know, Dad, I've been thinking about it, and I think I'm probably gay." And I almost drove off the road, and I said, "Okay, if you're gay, of course, that's fine. Tell me, why do you think you're gay?" And he said, "When we go to recess, I only like to play with the boys. And all of my friends are boys. I really don't like any of the girls. I must be gay." So I said, "I don't really think that's what being gay means. And maybe you're gay and maybe you're not gay." But I came back home and I said to Lisa, "You'll never guess which one of our sons tried to come out to me today." And then it's the first time I ever had to put somebody back into the closet. Right. But Zach is clearly straight, and Josh has always been gay, and that's just how it is.
Did Josh come out to Zach first?
Came out to me first.
He came out to you first before he talked to anybody else. Okay.
Yes, and then to my wife. Well, he was nervous. Mm-hmm. Josh didn't want to be gay. I think Josh's concern, and it's really interesting in light of what's happened in the last week, I think when Josh realized he was gay, his first thought was, "Now I'm not going to be married, and now I'm not going to have a family like the one I'm growing up in, and now I'll be different." And I don't think any kid wants to realize that they're going to be excluded from anything that they consider normal life.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting that at 11 he was thinking in those terms, though.
It was clear. Mm-hmm. And Josh and I spent some time. When he came out to me, I realized a few things almost immediately. And I think that any loving parent has to feel the same way. And the first thing I realized was, it's my job to do what I can to make sure he gets a fair shake in life. And it's my job as his parent to, I don't want him bullied. I want to make sure he feels whole and complete. So we did a lot of things. One of the things, Josh is and was an avid reader. I tried to find books. All of the books he was reading, there were no gay characters, mm-hmm. It's as if gay people don't exist in teen literature. So I tried to find some books where there was at least a gay person, because obviously if everything you read doesn't include a person like you, then you conclude there's something wrong with you. There are a few books, but really just a few books that were age appropriate that we found. We talked to Josh's school with his permission. Josh and I went and talked with the counselor through Youth First Texas, who was fantastic. Just exactly the right person at exactly the right time. Not because Josh needed counseling, but I just thought Josh should talk to someone, and I wasn't sure exactly what I should be asking or saying. And when he mentioned to his counselor that he was upset that he wasn't going to be married, of course the counselor didn't say, as hopefully someone would today, "What are you talking about? Of course you'll be married." Mm-hmm. She said something that was profound that I never would have thought of, and she said, essentially, "You're entitled to be upset for the things that you're not going to have. You're entitled to mourn for the things that you're not going to have, but you're going to have other things that are going to be equally good, and you don't have to be upset about that." It seems so basic, but at the time it was something that wouldn't have occurred to me, and I think he got it immediately, and he's been great. When he came out to me, and then to my wife, and then to his brother and sister, and one of the most interesting things in that process, we're not behind closed doors a lot in our family, but after Josh told me, then my wife and I were talking behind closed doors, and then as he got ready to tell his siblings, there were a lot of closed doors. Mm-hmm. And so finally, when he told his twin brother, I could see, you know, we were waiting to see what reaction he would get. And his sister, Jordan, she was fantastic. And my wife says the way that we knew that things would be okay with their older sister was that Josh told her, she hugged him, then she told him to get out of her room. So that's like business as usual.
Right.
Zach, when Josh told Zach, I saw this look come over Zach's face, and I really didn't know what it was, and he was in tears, and I thought, you're upset. I'm trying to figure out why you're upset. Zach said, because he had seen so many closed doors, Zach's words were, that's all? You know, I thought you had cancer. Mm-hmm. Zach thought there was something really horrible going on.
Thought there was something wrong, not that his brother was...
Correct. And it was a relief to Zach to find out that it was just that Josh was gay.
Yeah.
I would think also he would have been annoyed. Well, why didn't you tell me first?
He's never said that.
There might have been part of that, too.
Maybe.
I mean, twins have a special bond.
Sure.
So I would have expected him to have told Zach first to just try it out. Try out the telling somebody part before you go to your parents.
You know, yes, I see that. I'll tell you, and if we fast forward to today, mm-hmm. and they're about to be 17. And if they were both here, they'd yell at me for saying what I'm about to say.
See, it's good you didn't bring them. Because they were invited. They're off doing
right.
stuff.
17-year-old boy things, right. So Zach is, as I mentioned, an intern for the ACLU.
Mm-hmm.
On the day that the Supreme Court announced its decision last week, Zach was down at the Dallas County office helping line people up and helping them get processed to be mm-hmm. married. And Zach was at Sue Ellen's, as I mentioned, mm-hmm. and Zach was at the ACLU booth at the end of the Pride Parade last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, neither one of them will ever admit this, because I guess when you're a 17-year-old boy, you don't say this to your brother, but I have said to both of them, I've said to Josh, here's how you know where your brother's heart is. He may not tell you that he loves you, but every time he shows up and picks that as something to make important in his life, that's a message that you ought to receive from your brother.
Right.
So I'm real proud of all three of our kids.
Right. I mean, that's like, it reminds me of one time I was at a PFLAG meeting, and a mother had shown up, and we were broken up into small groups just for people to tell their stories. One woman was there for the first time. It was on a Monday or Tuesday night. I forgot which it was. And she said, you know, my son told me on Friday, and I don't know if I had the best reaction. And, you know, I had no idea that he was gay. So this really was the first time I'm even thinking about it. And I'm worried that he's going to be mad at me. And so I said to her, you know what? The most loving thing that you could have done, you came to a PFLAG meeting
right.
3 days later. The first PFLAG meeting being held since you heard this information. I said, here's my number. If he gives you any flack, tell him to call me and I'll tell him to back off. because it was the first time, and that's a more usual reaction from a lot of parents, that, oh, I didn't really think about it. I wasn't expecting that. You were more prepared for it, I think.
Well, I don't want to criticize any other
parent.
No,
I'm not sure criticizing. I'm saying this was a wonderful parent who her first reaction was, I need to understand this because it's my son.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, though, is, and maybe certainly every family's story is different.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for me to imagine really being surprised that your child is gay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, although I recognize that it must happen, I think most parents, if you're involved with your kid and you know your kid and you allow your kid to be who he or she is,
mm-hmm.
I think that when your kid comes out, it probably is not as big of a surprise as if you've built for yourself a world of denial in mm-hmm. the first place. So I'm looking forward to a world where, as parents, we don't have to go to support groups,
mm-hmm.
although I recognize that some need that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to a world where we can all just be who we are, and we don't need to find a way to accept people for mm-hmm. who they are. That's just a given.
Right. We're going to talk a little bit about, you sat through the whole legislative session, basically. You took off months from work, it seems like. You were just always down at the Capitol. And this was just some session. But the session ended, and then marriage equality happened.
And thank God it happened in that order. Because if we had had the Supreme mm-hmm. Court rule during the legislative session,
mm-hmm.
if there had been a month left on the calendar in Austin and the Supreme Court had ruled, every one of the anti-gay bills would have passed in response, because people would have felt a need to react. Mm-hmm. So thank God that we had the legislative session over, and now we'll have 17 months of people getting married, mm-hmm. and the world not ending. The joke that you talked about, I've said to Lisa, the Supreme Court has ruled, and my best friend has now been able to marry his partner of 25 mm-hmm. years, and miraculously, my marriage didn't end, the marriage of my neighbors didn't end, my parents are still married, everybody that I know that's straight is still married.
I'm so, hoping to take credit for some of these broken up marriages, so you and Lisa are still together.
Yeah, sorry about
I'm
that.
Sorry.
Right? I'm looking forward. I guess we'll find out, you know, we'll start seeing divorce papers of people who just felt that their marriage was meaningless mm-hmm. now, that they have to share that right with someone else. But in all seriousness, we would have seen that response, and now we'll have 17 months. Mm-hmm. where people can get married and have happy lives, and the world will continue to spin. And I'm hopeful that we can propel the momentum, both of the victories in the legislative session and from the Supreme Court, into what we really need, and that is a comprehensive approach to resolving all the problems. Mm-hmm. We still have the anti-sodomy statute on the books, even though it's been unconstitutional for years and years. Mm-hmm. We have kids who can't get both parents' names on their birth certificates. We have legislators who would want to put a bounty on transgender kids using the appropriate bathroom in public schools. We have obviously people who can come home from their honeymoon and be kicked out of their job, kicked out of their housing, kicked out of a restaurant. The list of things that we need to address is overwhelming, and I think the smartest thing to do, and if I was hired as a Republican operative, the number one thing that I would suggest is, let's address this in one bill. Let's have a comprehensive, omnibus, non-discrimination, sweeping bill. Let's bring our state into the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Let's get over this. Let's treat all people equally and fairly. Let's put it behind us and move on to something else. And
something important like destroying the public schools.
Let's talk about public schools, or let's talk about the environment. Let's talk about jobs. Let's talk about something. Not that these issues don't matter. Of course they do. Mm-hmm. But the writing is on the wall, and as a society, for us to continue fighting about basic fairness and dignity, mm-hmm. it's absurd and it's insulting.
Yeah. Why don't we take a break right now? You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet, and our guest today is Steve Rudner. He's the chair of the Equality Texas Foundation. We'll be back with more right after this.
This is Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
And that was just a quick break. This is Lambda Weekly, and I'm Dave Taffet. Rest of our crew is either celebrating the 4th of July, out sick, or something. Doc is here with us. He's recording the show. And our guest is Steve Rudner. He's the chair of Equality Foundation? Equality Texas Foundation. Yeah, my math isn't working today because it is a holiday weekend. Steve is also an attorney and went from being a parent who found out one of his kids was gay after he knew it for 10 years and to chair of Equality Texas. How did that happen? Because most people who have kids who are in school who are gay, they're a little bit too busy to be doing all this nonprofit nonsense for the gay community.
Well, I'm a little bit too busy to be doing it too, but it has to be done. So
lots of us say that, and we just don't do it. We don't get around to it.
You know, I'm embarrassed to say. I mentioned my best friend. We've been best friends, really like brothers, since we were in high school. Mm-hmm. And when we were roommates in college, he came out, mm-hmm. and he was gay bashed and all of that. And that certainly should have activated me. And I'm embarrassed to say that it didn't. Mm-hmm. I lost a first cousin to AIDS in 1993, and I'm embarrassed to say that that didn't activate me as it should have. But as I mentioned, when an 11-year-old, when your son looks you in the eye and has the courage to tell you that he's gay, I think you'd, at least in my case, I just instantly felt it was my responsibility to do what I could to make sure that he got a fair shake. I never heard of Equality Texas, didn't know anything about it. And Kayla Schell, who was on the Equality Texas board, she and her wife and their children have come to our house for Thanksgiving every year for as many years as I can remember. And Kayla talked to me at Thanksgiving 2.5 years ago and mentioned Equality Texas to me for the first time. I joined the board, I think, the following January, I don't remember how quickly after that I became president of the foundation, but it's really become an all-consuming passion.
I think it was people on the board saying, we are so tired of this. Ooh, new blood. How would you like to not just be on the board, but you can be the chair?
Maybe so.
But I know how those work.
I have to tell you, I feel so grateful. Not only because I've met so many wonderful people doing the work that I'm doing, but I do feel, without being religious or whatever, I do feel that all of the different skill sets that I have conspired to put me in the right place at the right time. I've got this huge big mouth. I don't stop talking. I ran a state representative's office for 7 years. I've been a member of a variety of boards, including some significant development experience. And you're an attorney. Yes, and
so
I'm an attorney.
That certainly helps when we're talking about legislation and, you know, just how legally can we keep, do we get this? How now do we keep it? And that's one thing I want to talk to you about.
Absolutely.
Because I've heard some fears about it. But you are an attorney.
Yes.
What is your specialty, though?
My firm represents hotels, primarily luxury hotels, all throughout the world in regard to group sales matters.
See, and that's an interesting thing, because working in hotels, you will never find a gay person in a service industry like
that's
that,
right.
Will you?
That's right. And if you look at our Texas Competes effort, and Texas Competes is a list of Texas-based businesses or businesses with a big presence in Texas, all of whom have come together for free to make a simple declaratory statement, which is discrimination is not good for our Texas economy and not good for our Texas brand. I'm proud to say that among the early signers there, you'll find not just Marriott, Starwood, Hilton, La Quinta, and the Texas Hotel and Lodging Association, but various convention and visitors bureaus, the Houston Super Bowl Host Committee, American and Southwest Airlines, and so travel and tourism really does have a big role in promoting our efforts.
Do you know, it seems so simple. It's such a simple concept. It's something that some corporations, we have a large auto manufacturer moving their headquarters here. Their gay and lesbian group was so upset when they found out that they'd be moving to Texas and losing their marriages, because
right.
of the time they would have, that they ended up having to hire all kinds of people to do damage control for it. Compared to their budget, it was a drop in the bucket, but it was wasted money. Had this ruling been in effect at that time, it would have been okay.
Well,
so we're moving to Texas.
Well, I'm not sure, because although it's great for your marriage in California to be recognized here in Texas, what they lost when they moved, until Plano adopted its ordinance, mm-hmm. what they lost was protection and discrimination in housing, public employment, public accommodations, and employment. So, as you and I have discussed, marriage is great, but marriage we're not there yet.
And while their mayor will say that that ordinance had nothing to do with that particular auto company moving to Texas, it certainly had everything to do with it, because businesses in Plano who are based here all have complete non-discrimination in their basic employment agreements.
If you look at all of the companies, mm-hmm. and I shouldn't say all, because as soon as I say that, someone will find one. If you look at the overwhelming majority of the companies that were persuaded to relocate to Texas mm-hmm. during the ending years of Rick Perry's administration and during the beginning of Governor Abbott's administration, you'll find that every one of them has a significant commitment to non-discrimination against members of the LGBT community. And that's telling. That's where the jobs are. That's where millennials are. That's where we need to be to attract employees and the brilliant minds that we need to fuel this economy.
Okay, talk about local companies. Do you know who just signed on as a major sponsor of Out and Equal, which is the big, it's one of the largest gay and lesbian conferences held anywhere in the country. It's going to be here in October.
And ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil is there. Big sponsor.
I saw that
and I went, wait.
And you saw in the article, you read the same article that I did, in which CC Cox was quoted about it, and mm-hmm. I thought that's a great victory for CC, having worked as hard as she did for as long as she did to mm-hmm. make that happen.
Yeah. I mean, she did. I am so glad I do not have to go to another ExxonMobil shareholders meeting. I know more about offshore drilling than any gay reporter who reports on gay issues ever needs to know.
That's great.
they were so stubborn. I can't tell you how obnoxious and stubborn that company was.
It has to have been hard for the former mobile employees when mobile was so great to have made that transition.
Mobile, one of the first companies to offer benefits to gay employees.
That's right. But we are building through this Texas Competes efforts a big list. We want employers.
ExxonMobil needs to be added to that list now.
Absolutely. But we don't just want the ExxonMobils. We have all the tech companies. We have Celanese and Dow Chemical, and we have some great big iconic Texas companies. But we want this list to be thousands and thousands of companies.
It needs to be.
In small restaurants and independent businesses. We've got most of the major law firms in the state, but then we have law firms that are composed of one or two lawyers. What we want is in every legislative district employers to sign up. And here's what's interesting, to connect a few dots. If you look at the 150 members of the state legislature, you'll find some representatives who have the worst anti-LGBT voting records, and they're in deep red Tea Party counties where everyone assumes we're never going to make any progress there. And you look at what their county clerks did even after Paxton said you don't have to issue marriage licenses, and they're issuing marriage licenses. I don't think that we should assume, I don't think it's right for us to take as a given that there are not in every one of those districts businesses and people who, if given the opportunity, will say, I am not in favor of discriminating against anyone. And those are the people whose names we need on this list.
Sure. I was down in Houston last week, which is why I wasn't on. I went to Houston's Pride Parade. And wonderful Pride Parade. They do a fantastic Pride Parade there. Float after float after creative float. It was a wonderful parade. There was one that just said, we bake cakes.
That's fantastic.
Because what they were trying to say is, look, all this news that you're hearing about people who won't bake cakes for you, we bake them. Call us.
You know, I never knew there were so many anti-gay florists until the parade of people who are horrified about having to sell flowers to gay people.
And exactly.
Of course, it's almost funny, except it's a very clever way of those who oppose equality to completely change the issue. Mm-hmm. It's the poor, beleaguered florist who's being forced to participate in a wedding they don't want to. That's the way they tell that story, rather than reliving the civil rights victories of the 1960s and saying, if you're a business and you're engaged in commerce, then it's your obligation to serve the entire public. Just like you can't say, it's all right that I won't let certain people of color sit at my lunch counter because some other restaurant will. That doesn't work for us as a country. People of color get to sit at every lunch counter. And the same is true for members of the LGBT community. It doesn't matter to me that people say, why should a baker be forced to bake a cake, or why should a florist? And the answer is, you've decided to engage in commerce in the United States, and that's covered by the Commerce Clause of the Constitution, and that's what the Civil Rights Act meant. It's so disturbing to me that the logic that's being used against advances for the LGBT community in non-discrimination would undo all of the gains that we achieved as a nation in civil rights. And I think we've stopped teaching history and civics, and I think we're starting to see the unfortunate result of all of that.
No, we teach history perfectly. Didn't Texas add to its social studies book that Moses was one of the founders of Texas?
I was reading the Jesus was walking with dinosaurs chapter.
Oh, okay. That's in our textbook. That's
yeah,
not
I'm
right.
Sure. I'm sure that's right.
I think that's right. You know, over the last week, first of all, let's just talk about this week. I don't know about you. I have been to more weddings this week than I have in my life because I was photographing a lot of them for Dallas Voice. And I was just going down there for fun. I saw Jack and George get married. Jack and George have been on our show. They've been together 54 years now. We went up to the counter and they had to say identification. And I said, check the birth dates. I want to make sure that they're not getting illegally married here. And he said, well, he's 82. I said, oh, look at that age difference. Are you sure that
right, that's great.
But, I mean, there was such joy down at the county at the Dallas Records building. New York Life was giving out flowers to everybody coming down. The ACLU was there with a big picture frame. The people coming downstairs could stand in front of the picture frame, show their marriage certificate before they went over to the courts building. The only restriction that our county clerk asked is, please go over to the other building. We're expecting crowds. We just don't want to crowd everybody in here. You know, it was no restriction really at all.
There was a state senator from San Antonio who went to the Bexar County Courthouse, and I mean, the quotes, I'll speak for myself, I couldn't stop crying looking at Facebook till about midday Sunday. On Friday, the day that the Supreme Court ruled, this state senator went down to the courthouse in San Antonio, and he said that when he and his wife got married, they had a big crowd and people were making them feel so important and mm-hmm. welcome. And he was watching these couples being married, and they were just there alone. So he invited every one of the couples up to his legislative office when they were welcoming them. Yeah, that's so thoughtful and so meaningful. Uh-huh. I'm really proud of the efforts of a large number of statewide organizations, Equality Texas among them, who were working very hard to make sure that in county after county, and of course, we have counties we still need to work on, although only a few left. But in county after county, those offices were open and ready to issue licenses so that we could have the wonderful day last Friday that we had.
You know, on Friday, there were only 21 that issued. By Monday, it had gone up to about 100. By Thursday, I know the number was at about 200. And I don't know how many counties we have left, but a number of those 50 counties left are so small that there have been no requests for it.
When the Supreme Court issued its ruling, it didn't say if you are gay, you have to go find someone and get married. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of counties where if there are gay people, and mm-hmm. I suppose there are, it may be the case that because the county is so small, we may not have two gay people in love who were in the mood to get married last week.
Loving County, one of the largest, physically largest counties in the state, has absolutely no incorporated territory in it, no cities, and only 71 residents.
Right.
So chances are, and only a part-time clerk who probably doubles as a county commissioner and a, you know, whatever. We'll never get to 254 here because we probably don't have to.
We're also looking for in those counties, though, is confirmation that if someone showed up to get a license, they would be granted one. And I don't mean to minimize the resistance. Mm-hmm. But if you remember where we were on Thursday night before the Supreme Court ruled, when we were contemplating the ruling, we had the clerk of Harris County, Houston, saying, I'm not going to issue licenses. Right. Now, that would have been a big deal.
He gave in by 3:30 on Friday, and they issued as many licenses from 3:30 till closing as we did here in Dallas County, if not a few more.
Right.
You know, you resisted, and then you made people who work in your office just work triple hard. Are you proud of that?
Well, I hear what you're saying. I'm just grateful that on Friday mm-hmm. we got that resolved.
Yes.
And that, again, here we are. We're more than a week past the Supreme Court's decision. Our state has not imploded. We haven't been struck by a meteor. Mm-hmm. All of the horrible predictions have not come true. And instead, what we have people who have been in loving, committed, meaningful relationships. And you look at the pictures. These are families. These are older people. These are the people that we all work with. And these are our neighbors. And they are entitled, we are all entitled, to happiness and freedom and dignity and equality. And how nice to live in a country where finally everyone can have a little piece of that.
You know, it was funny. On Friday, I was getting calls and being pulled in all directions. Somebody from AT&T called me and said, come on down to our headquarters. We're out demonstrating. So I went down there, and a whole group from AT&T for about an hour was downstairs with pride flags.
That's fantastic.
And everybody driving by was honking at them. Did you see any negative here in Dallas? I didn't.
I did not.
I didn't see one single protester. I didn't see anybody. We sat down for lunch, because we were downtown just working the whole day. Sat down for lunch. A woman was at the table next to us. She had two young kids with her. She said, oh, are you here because of the marriage ruling? And I said, well, I'm a reporter and I'm covering it. And she said, you know, I'm here with my kids. We went to the museum, to the sixth floor museum. And after we were done, I had to walk them by the records building because I wanted them to see history. That's what I saw.
Well, I've said before, and I know I get yelled at by some very nice people when I say this, mm-hmm. but when I talk to Cleo and Nicole, mm-hmm. and when I talk to Mark and Vic, our four Texas plaintiffs, when I talk to Jim Obergefell, mm-hmm. They are the Rosa Parks of our generation, and they They don't think of themselves that way. They all think of themselves as just regular people who are in love.
Did you see the story about Mark and Vic from this morning?
I did.
They were out having breakfast at a Waffle House or something.
Yes, in Gun Barrel City.
In Gun Barrel City. And when one of them asked for the check, the waitress said, somebody picked it up for you, right?
And 2 days earlier, when they arrived for the weekend in Gun Barrel City, there was a poster on their door congratulating them that some of the neighbor kids had put on their door.
How nice.
It's not a perfect world.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't want to dampen anybody's enthusiasm. So I'm thrilled with what's happened, but we need to marshal all of this enthusiasm to make something really meaningful happen, because it's not going to be acceptable. It can't be acceptable for two people who love each other to go get married and then come back and have both of them be fired because they're gay in the workplace. We can't let that happen.
Okay, I want to talk about that. Well, let's take the break. I want to talk about whether any of this can be taken away from us. There are a few ways that they can do it. It can also be chipped away. Little piece at a time. I don't know how likely, because we're good. We're organized.
Yes, we are.
Whoever expected 200 counties to be issuing licenses this quickly? I expected at least 3 weeks of resistance from some of them.
We got it.
We really got it. The counties that are resisting are the little ones. And let's see what happens in some of those. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Steve Rudner from Equality Texas, and we'll be back with more right after this.
This is Janice McCall from TCU, and I listen to the Lambda Week on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
And you are listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Steve Rudner. He's the chair of the Equality Texas Foundation. I was talking to some people last night at a 4th of July party, a couple of activists who were really worried, okay, we got it. We've been married already. Now we have our marriage again. We've been in places where we are married, we're not married, we're back and forth. And it just doesn't, as good as this feels, you know, when you've been living with this your whole life, it's kind of hard to accept, okay, we won. But there are a couple of ways. I had somebody ask me this morning online, he said, well, what if we get a president next time who isn't in favor of marriage equality? And it's not really a president, but what about a Congress? Or can a president do anything through some executive orders? So can this be taken away?
Well, the Supreme Court has declared marriage to be a fundamental right, and they've declared that we're all entitled to it. So, in theory, could a new Supreme Court rehear this case and change its mind? I suppose that it's theoretically possible, except here's how that would have to happen. First, you would have to have somebody bring an action because they were forced to. I mean, who's the plaintiff?
The plaintiff. Memories Pizza.
You'd have to find
because they suffered. They had to close for a day. People gave them $1 million. It's a real hard luck story there.
Right. You'd have to find someone who is a victim, someone who is aggrieved by having to be married. So it's very, very difficult to find who the plaintiff is in that action. I can tell you this: as we look back at the history of the court, we don't have. Fortunately, we don't have instances where the Supreme Court has at first expanded and then retracted freedom. So I think it's unlikely, although it certainly points to the need for everyone to participate in elections and understand the impact that the Supreme Court has on all of our lives.
Right. Who we elect as president will decide two or three Supreme Court justices.
Although, of course.
Because of age, I'm just.
And we're never sure. You know, Kennedy was a Reagan appointee. I'm sure Reagan did not appoint Kennedy to the bench to be the swing vote on gay marriage.
Kennedy's first vote on gay marriage was in 1975 when he was in the Ninth Circuit. He wrote a decision, and it was against gay marriage.
Right. So you never know what you're going to get with the Supreme Court, but it's hard for me to see the Supreme Court changing its mind here. And it's certainly when we as a society, as a country, see people getting married and the world not ending, when we look at the poll numbers among young evangelicals and young Republicans, this is an overwhelming national sentiment and movement towards it. Even if the Supreme Court were to rule, If you imagine 10 years from now, after we've got everyone's neighbor being married, if the Supreme Court ruled that we didn't have the constitutional right, then we could go back to the ballot, and in 10 years from now, we would vote to reinstate what would then have become the norm. So that's not a concern that I have. What is a concern to me is that we don't understand that those who are against us are already launching a strategy to do to the LGBT community with this ruling what has been done for 20 years in regard to Roe versus Wade. Mm-hmm. And I don't like to draw analogies there, but this is a constant, never-ending fight to chip away with restrictions and regulations and so forth. And so this is the time. This is the time for our nation to have a moment and to say, all of us, whatever party we're in, whether we're straight or we're not straight, whoever we are, this is a moment for everyone to say, and I don't mean to have the flag waving behind me, but let's let people be free. Let's let people be equal. Let's recognize that what just happened in the Supreme Court was an instance where we lived up to the best that our Constitution stands for. We allowed people to become part of what this government is supposed to be. And if we just took a moment and all calmed down and said, let's get over it, let's mm-hmm. make it happen, we would get huge advances, we'd have a more open society. You know, I hear this all the time, and I never thought about it until I became involved in this work. When you talk about someone who can be fired at work for being gay, someone mm-hmm. who is closeted at work, you think about the amount of energy that person has to put into hiding who they are and never letting something slip and not letting anyone know who they're taking care of on a day off or who they're going on vacation with, and making sure all the barriers and all the walls that they have to construct to hide who they are. The amount of energy that goes into that has to be so unproductive, non-productive at the workplace, and so destructive. If we could all show up at work and all just be who we are without any fear, boy, it's not only important for the person who is afraid of being fired, it's important for all of us. We want employees to show up and bring the best of who they are. And that's true in every sphere. You don't want to have to hide from your landlord. You don't want to have to hide in a restaurant.
Employers, and one employer after another that has instituted non-discrimination, has agreed that once they have that non-discrimination policy in place and their employees are just free to be who they are, they seem to have more time to actually work because they're not spending part of their time at work hiding. And hiding takes time.
And they also can be proud of where they work. You know, listen, there's no important activity at my law firm that I wouldn't bring my wife to. And everybody ought to be free to be their best selves, to show up and be yourself and be proud of who you are. That's really all that this is all about. Mm-hmm. Let's just let people be. Let's be the kind of country that gets out of people's bedrooms and off of people's backs and let everyone be proud of who they are.
Because mm-hmm. you're more productive when you are.
And as far as the business is concerned,
that's what they're looking for.
Of course.
The other thing, what American Airlines found out years ago was, when we welcome the gay community, then all of our gay employees are proud to say, fly American. We're, at the time, one of the big accomplishments, and this again was a resource center accomplishment, was within 6 months, American went from being the worst airline to fly on if you had AIDS to the best airline to fly on if you had AIDS, because their flight attendants were trained.
Right.
And that's just a bring something of who you are, and it brings more business.
And I'm proud to say American has followed through.
Oh, yeah.
They've been a wonderful partner for Texas Competes. Mm-hmm. They've been supportive of the community. And, you know, you mentioned the Resource Center, and I want to say, we are so fortunate in this battle, continuing battle for equality, mm-hmm. that there are so many great organizations on so many levels, Fairness Fort Worth and the Resource Center and Equality Texas and Lambda Legal and HRC and the ACLU and Texas Freedom mm-hmm. Network. It's very, and I'm sure many others that I sure. just left off inadvertently from that list. It's wonderful. And Gay Love North Texas, I don't ever want to leave them off of my list. It's so wonderful that all of these great organizations are working together in concert so well towards a common goal. Mm-hmm. I don't know that in a lot of movements we see that, but it's been really critically important to our success.
You know, one of the things that the Dallas Way means by the Dallas Way, and the Jewish community uses that term too, is that the different groups who have different things that they do actually work together.
That's right.
It's why HRC, when they're, anybody calls them and says, you know, we're thinking of starting a group here, they say, oh, call Dallas.
Right.
Well, they have one.
we have really not had to spend any time on ridiculous territorial fights.
Right.
And we've not been spending time competing with each other. We've all recognized that we know what the finish line looks like. And I don't think that any of our organizations care who's carrying a flag over that finish line. We all just want to be over that finish line.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you're talking about chipping away. One other way that it could be reversed is through a constitutional amendment, which is extremely hard to pass.
Yes, and
the ones that have passed have been obvious things, especially in the last half century, like after Kennedy died and there was no vice president for a year and a half. A constitutional amendment, very easily passed. It has to pass Congress, then it has to pass three-quarters of the states?
I don't know if it's two-thirds or three-quarters.
Okay. But it's a large number of the states, not just a simple majority, but a supermajority. And something that was obvious, oh, we just didn't think of that. What happens if a president dies in office? What's the succession? And we have that fixed now. So obvious things pass, but things that are controversial, it's rare that they get to constitutional amendment form.
Well, the last controversial thing that I remember in my lifetime that was the subject of a constitutional amendment was the ERA, which did not pass for exactly the reason that you just mentioned.
You know the first state that passed the ERA?
Texas.
Is Texas.
Yeah.
That had to do with timing more than anything, but we have it in our state constitution.
Right.
So
correct.
It was an obvious to pass. Probably the most controversial, or the last time a controversial one passed, was prohibition.
Interesting. Well, I don't think that a constitutional amendment to take away the freedom to marry is
likely.
I wouldn't just say that. It can't happen.
It has to pass the Senate, and a number of Republican senators are marriage equality supporters. So,
but we don't as a country have a history. We have no history of taking rights away from people. Once we see, and that's the thing here. Once that's, you know, just like during the AIDS crisis, the people at ACT UP were smart enough to realize that you could be bigoted or prejudiced or biased against someone if you don't know any gay people, the people in your own family don't tell you they're gay, the people that are your neighbors that you work with. So long as we could make people ashamed to be who they were, then we could easily marginalize and pass legislation excuse me, against them because we didn't know them. As soon as they realized if everyone's out, it changes the world, the same is true here. Once you know it's your neighbor getting married, you're not going to vote against your neighbor.
Right.
And I don't think there's anything to worry about in regard to that constitutional amendment. I think.
But what about chipping away? How would that happen? What are some of the things that they'd chip away at? What's a RFRA?
Well, we have a RFRA is a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. We've had one in Texas for many years. We have had other states try to pass RFRAs. Indiana tried to pass a RFRA, and there was huge outcry.
They're still recovering from it.
Correct. Their governor is not going to recover from it, probably. But we've had one on the books here in Texas for a long time. Now, during the last legislative session, there was an attempt to amend the Texas Constitution to change it, which failed, as did every other piece of anti-LGBT legislation that was passed. But our Texas RFRA is really interesting. And here's how you know it's probably a good piece of legislation. The coalition that put that together included the ACLU and Planned Parenthood and the Right to Life people. It included organizations on every corner of the political spectrum. And it essentially says here in Texas that we can't force someone. Nobody can be forced to do something that contradicts a sincerely held religious belief. But there are all sorts of exceptions, and one of the exceptions there, and we haven't had a lot of conversation about this, but the state RFRA, which is a law, by the way, and not a constitutional amendment, the state RFRA does not apply to civil rights laws. And arguably, and I believe that the way that our state's RFRA would be construed is because the Supreme Court has now held that marriage is a fundamental right, I don't think our state RFRA allows anybody an option to get out of allowing someone to exercise that right.
And the EEOC has all kinds of accommodations for religious people. So I was talking to one attorney this week, and I asked him, where is the line between accommodating you religiously and accommodating somebody who has a right to get a marriage license? I said, is it that if they can politely say to the person, oh, you're getting married, congratulations, let me get somebody who can help you with that. You turn to the person, I have a same-sex couple here, need some help. The person goes up to the counter, congratulations, let me help you with that same-sex
rather
license.
Rather than the first person who
rather than the
to
first
it.
Person, yes. Yeah. Now, I've gotten two different answers. One said, if you can politely and without any inconvenience, if you can accommodate, that's fine. I had actually two other attorneys say to me, no. What they said was, you have to be able to do the core mission of your job. One of the core things of your job, if religiously you want to wear a yarmulke or a headscarf, that has nothing to do with doing your job. You can do your job. But if you're not going to issue a license to every person evenly, then you're not doing your core job.
To me, I would make a third argument. Mm-hmm. The right to say that I don't have to do something because my religion says I don't have to do it, that's a great thing to say when you're employed by a private company or a public company. It doesn't apply to government workers. Each of us pays those government workers. Those are our tax dollars. There's no one who works in my government that has the right to deny me my government services. And if you don't like having to serve the whole public, then you need to not work for the government. It's as clear as could be, and all we don't have to think very hard to come up with examples, and I know you've got many of them. If you can imagine all of the people who are saying that someone who works for the county that doesn't want to issue marriage licenses to same-sex couples because of their personal religious beliefs, that's okay so long as there's another worker in the office who could do it, I'd like to see their reaction when someone goes in to get a permit to carry a concealed weapon. And the government employee whose job it is to issue those concealed weapons says, well, I'm a Quaker, and we don't believe in guns, and we don't believe in violence, and so I'm not issuing anybody a concealed weapons license. We would go insane. We'd go crazy. And, of course, we'd be right. And the Second Amendment, that's a fundamental right. You've got the right to bear arms. And we can't have a government worker using their religion to deny someone the right to bear arms. We can't have a government worker saying, my religion, whatever religion it is, in my religion, I don't think African Americans should vote, so I'm not going to give you a voter registration card. In my religion, a bailiff in a courthouse who says, I'm not putting Hispanic people on a jury. I mean, we have certain fundamental rights in this country.
Wade, remember
Roe
v. Wade? You and I are both Jewish. Wasn't one of the guidelines no Jews on our
but,
for years?
But David, when we talk, it's interesting because when we talk about LGBT people mm-hmm. not having here in Texas mm-hmm. and in many other states the right to be free from discrimination in employment, public housing, and accommodations. That is also a jury service issue. Right now, it's perfectly legal, perfectly permissible for when we are examining potential members of a jury pool to exclude all the gay people from the jury. You can't do that with people of other race. You can't do that based on race. You can't do that based on religion. It's perfectly legal still in Texas to do that based on sexual orientation or gender identity or expression. It's absurd. We have to treat everyone. Everyone is entitled to be treated as a full and equal member of the society. And so the idea that a government worker can deny to extend government benefits to anyone, and I'm really not government benefits. It's important to remember that the Supreme Court referred to marriage as a fundamental right. If it's a fundamental right, then nobody who works in the government can deny the extension of that fundamental right.
The benefits flow from that right.
Correct.
So, yeah, we're talking about the right. You know, one of my favorite quotes out of the Supreme Court during the day that the case was being argued was Elena Kagan. She just made a comment, and I think she was answering something Scalia said. He said, you know, well, it depends on who we want to give these rights to. And she said, it's our job to define the rights. It's not our job to define who takes advantage of those rights.
It's interesting.
And I think that's,
of course, that's
one
right.
of the most brilliant things. It's such a simple concept, but that is the job of the Supreme Court.
Well, to sort of tie this together, I without launching into an attack on
we have 1 minute.
person or any group, I would say, you know, we talk about our rights being God-given.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those rights is our right to liberty. That's mm-hmm. what we're talking about. We're talking about everyone having liberty.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the Supreme Court isn't giving us those rights. The Supreme Court is clarifying that that right extends to everyone.
To everybody. Steve, the hour flew.
It did.
I'm so sorry about having destroyed your marriage.
I think we'll be okay.
I'm hoping.
25 years almost and
you're promising
another 50
us,
on the way.
Okay. Well, you're promising us. So if anything happens, I get the credit for that one.
Okay. It won't, but good luck.
You know, it's like I've asked for a list of I want to know which florists, which photographers, which wedding planners are refusing to work with gays and lesbians.
Ruined.
Yeah, well, not whose lives, but really don't want to work. I want to publicize them because I can guarantee that if we have a list out there, nobody will go to them. Everybody will be happy. If you really don't want to serve, just let me know and I'll
right.
be happy to get it. I also want to know how many lives I've destroyed. this really was such a joyous week.
It really was.
You know, I don't know about you, but I cried at more weddings this week than I think I've ever cried at on a Monday morning.
It was beautiful.
It really was a beautiful week. We're out of time. You're listening to Lambda Weekly here, LaRon and Patty and Josh. They'll all be back next week. Our guest is, I don't remember who, I have it written down at home. I don't always think straight on Sundays. And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly next week.